this nation, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this Saturday edition of the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a beautiful song today about heaven and continue with our Saturday-only series, the verse-by-verse study of Jude, as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Of course, Jude only has one chapter, and Dr. Green is discussing verses 7 and 8 today. And we'll get to that in just a moment, but I do want to remind you to listen after the message to hear about our great gift offer for this week, containing a series of messages on James, preached by Dr. Green on the radio, as well as two other books. So stay tuned after the message for that. But right now, let's hear The Pearly White City, and then Dr. Green.
There's a holy and beautiful city whose builder and ruler is God. John saw it descending from heaven when Patmos in exile he trod. Its high massive walls are of jasper. The city itself is pure gold. And when my frail tent here is folded, mine eye shall its glory behold. In that bright city, pearly white city, I have a mansion, a heart, and a crown. Now I am watching, waiting, and longing for the white city that's soon coming. Heartaches are known in that city. No tears ever moisten the eye. There's no disappointment in heaven. No envy and strife in the sky. The saints are all sanctified, holy. They live in sweet harmony.
Reach that fair city. And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Father, as we study today, may the Spirit of God have right of way in my heart and in every heart that listens today. Save the lost and bless believers in Jesus' name. Amen. On the last broadcast, we talked about the judgment of the great day. Now, let me point you, and I'm not going to discuss it today, but you look at Revelation 20 and verse 12. And you'll notice in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, there is a little one by judged. We read, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, and there's a little one by that word. And if you look down in the footnotes, you'll see that little one and the words, the final judgment. Now, if you'll read on down, read all of that footnote, you will discover that Dr. Scofield, the great teacher that God gave light and understanding, like very few men have ever had. I'm talking about spiritual understanding and spiritual light, such as very few men have ever known. Dr. Scofield gives a very wonderful outline of the judgments and the scriptures. Now, you study them. It'll take you, we could spend a whole week there easily. So, that's in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. Study the footnote by the word judged, and you'll notice that he lists the various judgments, and he gives to you the scriptures. Now, we'll move on with verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities about them in the plain, or in the plains, of course, all around that countryside. Let me read it correctly now. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now, I pointed out yesterday and the day before on the previous broadcast in the series, I pointed out that the Holy Spirit is using illustrations here to show the believers exactly what happens when people go after error, apostate teachers, and liberals, modernists, and whatever. It doesn't matter. Anyone that denies the Word of God and refuses to honor deity and the verbal inspiration of the Bible, they suffer the vengeance of Almighty God. God protects His Word, and God will judge any man who tampers with His Word. Now, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, the account is found in Genesis 19. And if I go back there, we'll be there for a day or two, so I'm not even going to turn to it. But you read in Genesis 19 that God sent two men down to Sodom, and Lot was sitting in the gate, and that denoted authority. He was probably the mayor. We would call him the mayor. And there he was. And God sent these men to warn him. And they said, now, if you have any loved ones here, anyone that you love, anyone that's dear, get them out, because we've come to tell you that God's going to destroy these cities, not only Sodom and Gomorrah, but other cities around the Dead Sea. So Lot, of course, was concerned, and we have the sad story how that the men of the city demanded these men, and of course they desired to commit the sin of sodomy. And of course, when you mention the sin of sodomy, well, people blush. I mean, ladies and gentlemen blush when you talk about the sin of sodomy. But yet today, it is all around us, and the sin of sodomy is multiplying in our day by leaps and bounds. And that's another sign of the end, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. And certainly, Noah days and Lot days are being repeated all around us today in every phase of sin, and not only the sins, but other activities such as building, buying, selling, and so forth. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked cities. They committed fornication, and God hates fornication, whether it is spiritual or literal, that is, fleshly or spiritual fornication. God hates, God despises, and God judges fornicators, and those who are guilty of fornication. And Paul tells us that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. They cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, going after strange flesh. Now, I told you the other day when we studied the angels that sinned, they left their first estate. I told you that, frankly, I cannot identify these angels minutely, I mean by that specifically, and point them out and so forth, but I have my own convictions about these angels and the sons of God and the women in Genesis just before the flood. Now, there's no point in going into it because I do not believe in speculating or guessing. If you do not have scripture to prove anything, if you do not have a clear scripture to prove what you're preaching, then you'd better not preach it. I have no right. You have no right. No man has any right to make the scriptures or to twist the scriptures to make them say what he wants them to say. Now, a lot of people will dogmatically declare things about the sons of God seeing the daughters of men and giants were born. They dogmatically declare this or that. Well, I have convictions about it, but I don't believe that we should try to make other people see things unless we can read it in the Bible and literally point it out, I mean by that, clearly, so that one can understand. There are those who teach and preach dogmatically and emphatically that there were people on earth before Adam. Now, I don't believe that. I don't believe it. I believe Adam was the first man. Now, creatures, yes, I don't know what kind of creatures, but there certainly could have been. And many believe that Satan and angels were here before Adam. I don't know. Of course, he was not Satan then. He was Lucifer, son of the morning, the shining one, the bright one. He was not the devil or Satan then. He was the shining one, the bright one. But many believe that he, along with many angels, were here. I don't know. You can believe what you want to. That doesn't have anything to do with my salvation. I'm talking about you can believe anything you want to about that. You can't believe anything you want to about the blood. You cannot believe anything you want to about the virgin birth, the verbal inspiration of the scriptures. But so far as believing that Lucifer was the ruler of the earth and the archangels with him and other angels, you can believe that if you want to. It doesn't make sense to me because I wasn't here. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't tell me clearly. And so I frankly cannot preach anything that I do not see clearly. But I do know that Sodom and Gomorrah were burned to the ground, burned to ashes because they committed fornication and they went after strange flesh. I know that. And so they are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Now there are those who teach and there are those who preach that this is proof that hell is not eternal. Now wait just a minute. I didn't say that. I believe in an eternal hell. I believe in eternal fire. Now, there are those who use this scripture to prove their point. I said prove their point, not the Bible point. They use this scripture to prove their belief, their doctrine, their point. They say that hell is not eternal and the fire is not eternal. And then they ask, is Sodom and Gomorrah still burning? No. Sodom and Gomorrah are not burning today, but the souls that died in that great fire are still burning. The spirits that were there the spirits of the men and the women and the young men and the young women who committed fornication, went after strange flesh, forgot God, and paid God no attention, and did not have any respect for God. They did not show forth respect for deity. The men and the women, the young men and the young women in Sodom that died on that day when God burned those cities to the ground, they are still suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This proves an eternal hell. Rather than disproving, it proves that hell is eternal, the fire is eternal, and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were burned and they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. The people are still burning. They're still suffering. You say, Brother Green, do you believe that? I don't preach what I don't believe. I don't say what I do not believe. I believe the Bible. And the Bible tells me that it's better to lose your hand, your foot, and your eye than to have these members and be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Now, I believe that. And where the worm dieth not. Now, I believe the fire in hell is eternal, just exactly as I believe in life eternal. I believe the life that God gives when you confess your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trust Him as your personal Savior, receive Jesus into your heart, you have eternal life. I believe that. And I believe that a person who dies without God and they plunge into hell, I believe the place where they are going is a place of eternal fire, because the Bible teaches that it is. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. And I believe the Bible. You can believe what you want to, but you can't believe what you want to if you hope to miss hell and go to heaven. All right. Likewise. Now, that's a good word. I like it. I like the word therefore and likewise and in like manner. You notice up here it says, even Sodom and Gomorrah's cities giving themselves so on and so on. That is, all of this is showing these examples. First Israel, God's elect nation. Then the angels, heavenly creatures. And then cities, see. And so now, likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Now, here's the thing that I hope I can get across to you as we study Jude, and I hope I can get it across to you today, right now. Listen very carefully. These filthy dreamers, and that doesn't mean necessarily that they had a dream at nighttime while they were upon their bed asleep. It doesn't mean that necessarily. It means that they lived in a dream. Their mind, you know, in the days of Noah, every imagination of the heart was evil continually. Every imagination of their heart was evil continually. That's what we read back in Genesis 6. Now, these filthy dreamers, I know that you know what we mean by daydreaming, person standing with fixed eyes, staring into space, or just staring, they are daydreaming, we say. Now, these people thought, now listen, they thought all the time about sin, fornication, lust, ungodliness. And so, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. Not only that, but they despise dominion. Now, I'm going to stop right there. And some people will misunderstand because you're not going to listen carefully and you're not willing to face the truth and face facts. But I want to say in this day and hour, men have the least respect for authority that they've had in many years. And I'm going one step further. Now listen carefully. Thank God not all, but more young people have lost respect for their parents, for their professors, and for the authorities that has ever been upon the face of the earth. I said not all, thank God. I said not all. So if you're not guilty, you can say hallelujah. And if you are guilty, you can face it. I tell you, it makes me sick on my stomach and sick in my heart. And it makes me nauseated when I hear these fellas talking about all that we, I'm talking about myself. I'm a father. I have two grown sons. And I have left my sons more than polluted air, polluted water, polluted cities. I've left them more than that. Now, I heard the statement some time ago. A young fella inherited a business and it was in debt. And somebody said all he inherited was some debts. And then someone else who knew the man who owned and operated the business, because of his illness and because of his sickness, the business was in debt to an extent, but not out of reason when I say the poor man, the dear man, and certainly he suffered, and that's the reason I use the word poor. But when he finally went on to be with the Lord, and the other one to whom it was left took it over, someone said all he inherited was debts. And then someone else said immediately, in fact, it was the one who was the executor, that is, drawing up the papers for the final, for the conclusion and the settling, the final settlement of all things. He said, the name he left, the name of the business, the name is worth 10 times more than the debts. And then the lawyer went on to say, everybody in our town knows the name and has respected it for years. And he did not leave just debts, he left the name. Now, if I can leave a good name for my boys, if I have been what I ought to be as a father to my sons, I'll leave a good name. And if I don't leave a good name, then I haven't left much. If I could leave them $1 million, and God knows I can't leave them $1 million, but if I could, it wouldn't be worth near as much as a good name. These filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. I'm going to talk more about that tomorrow, so if you're mad now, be sure and tune in tomorrow. You might get a little bit hotter. Amen. I mean that because I'm sick of the whole mess. These fellows running around here talking about what the parents, what the daddies and the mothers and the granddaddies and the grandmothers of America have left the young people. I want to say that we've left them more than polluted air, polluted water, and polluted cities. We've left them more than that. We've left them, thank God, the name America. We've left them the flag, the stars and the stripes. Glory to God. And I say, God help our people to wake up before it's too late. Filthy dreamers. We have some of them around today. God have mercy on us. Father, use the message. Glorify the name of Jesus. Save the soul that's nearest hell. Bless believers for Christ's sake. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green again. You know, some people, when they are studying a subject in the Bible, would prefer to listen to sermons about it, and others prefer to read about it. And in this offer, I have something for both types of people, an audio and written word about the book of James, a very important book in the Bible. Now, this and another book, a very different, unusual book, is in our gift offer, V. V is in victory. Now, it contains a series, audio series of messages by Dr. Green, as well as a book by Dr. Green, expanded by my mom, and then a book by my mother. All of this is available to you if you simply ask for gift offer V and send the donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $30 or more. Please send more if you can. Your donations are what keeps the Gospel Hour on the air. Now pray about it, ask the Lord's guidance, and of course do as He directs. Whatever the Lord lays on your heart, I urge you to do so. You will be blessed for your giving. But if you can send a donation of at least $30 and ask for Gift Offer V, I will send you first a collection of messages by Dr. Green that he preached on the radio, the verse-by-verse study of the book of James, 26 sermons on 9 compact discs. Then we have James, Servant of God. Now, this was a book written by my father early in his ministry. My mother found it. It was out of print. And she studied some other of my dad's writings and expanded on this book with a lot of research. A hardback book, 171 pages long. It will be a very good companion study to the audio messages, and you will learn a lot about the book of James and your own Christian life from this study. Finally, we have Bible Questions Asked Most, written and compiled by my mother, messages and questions asked by listeners over the years. She collected 226 of these questions, 206 pages long. It has a subject index and a scripture reference index. I know you'll enjoy reading it. So, to get the audio messages and both of the books, just ask for Gift Offer V and send your gift of at least $30. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.